Welcome everybody to today's episode of the Great Birth Rebellion podcast, where we grapple with current research and historical knowledge to help you get the best out of your pregnancy, birth, and postpartum journey. My name is Dr. Melanie Jackson at Melanie the Midwife. I'm a clinical and research midwife with my PhD, which is why I send out a weekly email which contains the resources that we use to create every single Great Birth Rebellion episode. You can join the podcast mailing list at melaniethemidwife.com. Our Great Birth Rebellion premium members also get access to podcast transcripts, additional resources, the Ask Mel a Question button, and an exclusive monthly Ask Me Anything episode where I answer listener questions. That said, let's get into it. Welcome everybody to today's episode of the Great Birth Rebellion podcast. I'm Dr. Melanie Jackson, and I'm about to share what the changes that are happening are to the Great Birth Rebellion podcast. You may have heard or seen what's unfolded over social media channels for both Bea and I this week regarding me releasing Bea from the podcast as the co-host. And today I'm offering a full explanation of why Bea will no longer be a regular part of the Great Birth Rebellion podcast. But I do hope she agrees to come back for guest appearances. These last few months, I've been seriously considering the exact purpose of this podcast. And I concluded that it is filling a need already, and that the information it shares has the potential to change birth and therefore the world for women. So I generated an aim for the podcast, which is to share high quality knowledge at no or low cost to as many people in the world as possible. This podcast seeks to create usable and shareable information about pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. And I do believe it's time to take serious efforts in the world to swing the pendulum back towards valuing physiological birth while also making room for appropriate and necessary interventions so that we can rediscover the balance. And I have an opportunity to do this through the podcast. To date, the podcast attracts 50,000 downloads per month, and that creates a huge opportunity and responsibility to affect change. With that in mind, I asked myself, how do I best do that? And by now, you may already know or not that I'm a clinical midwife and midwifery researcher, and I have a PhD, so I'm driven to collect data when creating solutions. And I'm also a businesswoman with a deeply embedded business mindset, and it drives my insistence to strive for daily improvement in all parts of my life, including this podcast. And this improvement means I can have a greater positive impact in the world. So you'll never see me apologizing for the fact that I strive, because it's important and meaningful work that I do. So a natural place to start was to survey our podcast listeners to understand what their favorite things about the podcast are, what drives them to listen or not listen, and share or not share the podcast. Always keeping in mind that the mission of this podcast is to share high quality knowledge to as many people as possible in order to enact change in the world. So I surveyed my Instagram followers and all the people on the mailing list for the podcast. So there is a mailing list of nearly 5,000 people who receive weekly emails regarding the podcast. And about 400 responses came in a 48-hour period. That gave myself and my assistant plenty of information to be able to answer this question. And so here was what the feedback said in a nutshell. From 400 people's feedback, 16% said change nothing, they love it the way it is, they had no other feedback other than they loved it. 12% mentioned poor sound and editing quality, and already for this podcast, this episode, I'm using my brand new mic. That's the first change to what we're doing to improve the sound quality and production quality of the podcast. 37% of the respondents did not appreciate the conversational style of the podcast and asked for less banter and chatter, less long monologues and rants. So this percentage of respondents wanted us to get more to the point because they were either busy women with families, or they were on their way to work, or they were midwives with limited drive time, or they wanted to be able to give an episode to their partner or support people or to their care providers to listen to, but the long episodes with lots of conversations prevented that them from doing that. That was 37%. 14% made reference to not feeling able to share the podcast with people because of the points that I made above. And more importantly, 10% of respondents said that their objections were so strong that they either no longer listened to the podcast themselves or have stopped sharing with friends and clients. So there was massive list of improvements that people suggested, which was amazing because it gave really clear direction. And people want the podcast to have more professional branding, to offer a clear structure and flow for each episode by providing summaries at the beginning and end of each episode. People wanted an improvement in sound and production quality, which is absolutely where we're going with some pretty big changes. People asked for shorter episodes filled with more meaty content. So lots of people wanted a lot more information. Having said that, lots of people referred to the conversational style of the podcast and how much they liked it, but there was some feedback about how it made it hard to go back again to the episodes to consume them because they were going back for some particular specific points and didn't want to have to wade through the conversation in order to get there. Many people referred to a quicker start at the beginning of the podcast, no chatter at the beginning, just get straight into it. Many people wanted more episodes, which could definitely be possible if we pair all of that earlier feedback and create shorter episodes. And shorter episodes means that we could be more focused on the topic, have less conversation, but then make more episodes. Now, listeners also felt that there was a bias that had been creeping in, particularly to the later episodes, and asked that that be tightened up. I loved that feedback, and that's something that definitely I can work on. People would like transcripts and timestamps so they can jump to parts that they're particularly interested in. And people loved the resource folders, but they found them a bit hard to access sometimes. We've actually already solved that problem. It was a very basic IT problem. A new button was pushed and boom, people will have way easier access to those resource folders. So if you're on the mailing list already, you'll know that you get a weekly email with all of the resources that we use to make every single podcast episode. The back catalog is there, so it doesn't matter when you join, you still get access to all the resource folders. And that's through a simple link. And our listeners get that every week. So you can join that at melaniethemidwife.com. Okay, so based on that feedback, what is changing? Firstly, I did make the very hard decision to release B from the podcast. There were so many reasons for this, and none of them were personal at all. It's not like we've had a fight or we don't like each other. There's been no falling out. This decision not to work together is about work and not about our life and life outside of this podcast. But the decision was also not made by mutual agreement. I completely own that this decision was driven by me and my intention to make changes to the podcast. From the very beginning of the podcast, the dream of the Great Birth Rebellion podcast was mine. I had specific intentions and really well-formed ideas for it, and I invited B to join as the co-host. And she agreed, only on the terms that she would just be able to turn up to record and didn't, because she didn't have time to prepare ahead of time or add more to her already busy workload. So it was agreed that she would be a co-host and offer her knowledge on the spot as seemed appropriate through the conversation, but that the preparation, the cost, organization, editing, publishing, and staffing would all be up to me. And I was completely on board with this because I wanted to retain creative control, and I willingly absorbed the time and financial cost of producing the podcast. And to this day, we're up to episode 75. I still invest at around 8 hours of time in each episode of preparation time. And each episode costs approximately $150 to produce if you don't include my time input. So considering all these things, I'm heavily invested in making the podcast the most widely accepted and high quality podcast that it can be, so I can get the most out of the time that I put in it. So the decision to release B from the podcast, it actually first came from my own thinking of how I could better manage the production process of the podcast. So in my mind, not having a co-host solved some of the production bottlenecks that I had identified in the post-production process. And this is not specifically about B herself. This would be the case with any other co-host. And so as I looked at the production flow of the podcast, I determined that I can't sustain the current level of post-production that comes from having two hosts alongside the growing needs of both my family and my other work. So put simply, not having a co-host generated most of the solutions to the problems that I was already having with podcast production. And then it was confirmed by the survey that I did with the listeners. So again, these were not specifically problems with B. It's just innate in the circumstance of having two hosts on the podcast. By not having a co-host, this would automatically allow me to delegate post-production efforts, create faster starts to the episodes, have shorter, more focused content, have a clear structure, and allow for the production of more episodes because there was no need for timetable negotiations either. So with a single host, I can plan and batch the episodes to streamline to my own workflow, which I know is not an important thing for you, the listener, that I have a streamlined workflow, but it's important for me as a mother and as a clinical midwife. I'm still on call and I need to create workflow circumstances that lean into me having longevity in my career. I can fit all of the things in that I do, but only if I have complete creative control and freedom to schedule my podcast efforts at times that suit me and my family. And that's not possible if you have a second person involved in podcast production. So the reasons weren't just based on people's feedback. They were also in the interest of my personal workflow. In my life, we run a small farm. I'm still working as a clinical midwife on call as a home birth midwife. We homeschool our children, and my husband and I also run a company together. So my business prowess has been telling me for some time that I have not been adequately balancing my workflow to allow enough time for my family. And so when I looked at what was stealing my time away, I immediately am seeking to rectify that. And I know for certain that B will be missed by so many listeners and by me. She has a loyal following and client base, and they appreciate her style, her knowledge, and her sensitivity. And there's no way I can replace what she brought to the podcast. Without her, there's no doubt that the podcast will be different, but will hopefully still achieve the overall aim to share top quality knowledge and information with as many people as possible. With that, I say a heartfelt farewell to B as our working relationship on the podcast comes to an end. But this is not the end of our real life relationship, just the end of our podcasting relationship. Okay, I'm getting all teary here. Now, about the ethos of staying curious and unbiased about the topics that are discussed on this podcast. Some of the feedback stated that the podcast was slipping in this standard and has started to introduce bias and strong opinion into the episodes. And this is something I'm really keen to correct, and will be working at that when planning and producing each podcast episode. There was also some feedback that the podcast started to feel negative and that the content was actually feeling frightening to some women. So I apologize if that has been your experience. We'll definitely seek to give a more balanced perspective on the topics as we go forward. The aim will always be to inform and not alarm our listeners. And I know we may have come across as too salty and anti-hospital in the past, so it's not okay. And I'll definitely be doing better to not alienate particular birth choices and particular birth locations or particular care providers. And this podcast is regularly recommended to women by their midwives and birth workers and friends and partners. And the feedback that we received suggested that this was becoming harder to do given the slipping standard on the podcast. So aiming to bring that way back up. And so the aim of the podcast going forward would be to honour all possible birth locations and care providers, including free birth, midwives in all settings, doulas, home birth, hospital birth, birth centres, obstetricians, including all of our beautiful allied health and support experts and professionals. And I'm so sorry that the podcast does not always cater to the needs of a wider audience. And I really want to rectify that because then we can share important knowledge to as many people as possible. Now, the other people sharing this podcast are universities. There are a number of universities who have included episodes of the Great Birth Rebellion into their recommended resource list for student midwives to listen to. And we want to honor midwifery students by producing a podcast that can actually alter the course of their work as a midwife because they are our future midwives. Imagine if every student midwife was required to listen to the Great Birth Rebellion podcast before starting their work as a midwife. Can you imagine what a difference it would make to the midwifery workforce? So the aim is to make the podcast episodes worthy of being shared through universities with their students as well. And now some of you want more episodes, others want shorter episodes because they're busy people. And so I've sacrificed the entertainment factor of having two chatty hosts so that I can bring you two episodes a week. These will be on Mondays as usual, and now a second episode each week, which will come out on a Thursday. They will be shorter and meatier and hopefully on topic each time. And I will also regularly invite guests to join me on the podcast for expert perspectives. And I've already lined up such an amazing lineup of guests. We've got Melanie Briggs coming up, talking about birth on country. Lily Nichols, who's going to do nutrition for gestational diabetes. Cheryl Sidery, our wise woman. Sarah Buckley, Kirsten Small, Sarah Smith, Fiona Hallinan, and Danae Capoletto. I hope I said your last name right, Danae, who is a doula extraordinaire here in Sydney. They're all going to make guest appearance in the coming months. And so this not only gives you access to all the best experts in their field, but it also means that there will be actually stacks of conversational episodes to break up the single host content. Longer episodes will be reserved for when I do have guests on the podcast so that we can do justice to their work and knowledge. I don't want to constrain them to a time frame. So this podcast has always had a focus on bringing research into the hands of all people at no or low cost. And going forward, I commit to bringing two free episodes per week and will also send the same weekly email to anyone on the podcast mailing list with all of the resources that we use to create each episode. This won't change. The other free resources that we're adding is video recording of each episode posted to YouTube going forward. All the past ones will unlikely be there. There are some video recordings, but we're going to start from these new episodes. And they'll be posted to YouTube, which will have subtitles. And the Great Birth Rebellion podcast will have a greater social media presence, which will allow for more discussion and conversation around each episode as well. Now, with the outsourcing of the podcast post-production processes, there is an increased workload for my PA. There's an upgrade of sound and set standards. that we've moved to Riverside FM and we've introduced the video versions of the podcast. Now, all of these things come at a financial commitment. So to date, myself and B have not received any financial assistance to create the podcast, and I've personally invested my own money into creating each episode. And it's been a pleasure to do this. I would do it again. However, in order to keep up with this new standard of production, I have intentionally limited my other paid work and dedicated that time to the Great Birth Rebellion podcast. So to support the move, I've created a premium membership hub at a small cost to each individual who chooses to join. There will still always be all the free stuff. And people who choose to join the premium membership hub, they can go there for exclusive content and access to me. So the premium hub contains additional resources for each podcast episode, a summary of the main points of the podcast episode, so kind of like a cheat sheet of sorts, so that you could use it as a printable information sheet, for example, for a midwife, or if you want to share something with your partner or friend, or if you want to print off some main points, if you're going to have a chat to your care provider, the Premium Hub is where you will find these printable information sheets. There is also an Ask Mel a Question button where you can click on and directly ask me questions relating to the podcast episodes. And then I collect these questions and answer them in an exclusive Q&A episode, one a month, where I answer those questions in the Premium Members Hub. So this is in response to requests from people who want to be able to ask me questions about each podcast episode. I would love to answer your questions and give you access to me, but this is only going to be provided through the Premium Members Hub at melaniethemidwife.com. And if this seems of interest to you, you can also click the link down in the show notes to join the Premium Members Hub for this podcast. And this membership comes at only a small cost to each individual at only $9 per month. You can join and cancel any time. It's a monthly subscription. So if you only want to ask one single question and you're very satisfied, it will cost you only $9, which is about as much as it costs to buy two coffees. So I would ask that if you are keen to access these added extras, or if you just love the work that's happening here at the Great Birth Rebellion podcast and want to make sure it keeps happening, I would love to invite you to consider joining the Premium Members Hub. The hub has been built. It's only in its infancy, but all of the structures and flow are there for you to start enjoying it right away, and it will only grow as the months go on. Even if you don't join the Premium Members Hub, as we've always done, you'll still get the free episodes per week, access to the video content. The resource list is completely free. Now, down the track, I will also be seeking podcast sponsorship from ethical and trusted brands that I personally use and endorse, but I will not be loading the podcast full of lengthy ads because I want the listener experience to be as seamless as possible. I do not want the podcast loaded with stacks of ads, but I will be seeking sponsorship for the podcast. Okay, that's it for now. I'll see you this Thursday for our one and only public Ask Me Anything episode. In the future, these will be only in the Premium Member Hub where I will answer listener questions, but I'm going to give you one public free one this Thursday. I will see you then for another episode of the Great Birth Rebellion.